Gender rule. Gender rules.
That's right.
Whew. I'm going to use this today. And the first thing I want to do before I actually start talking, I want to just have you all celebrate with me, because this is a fun moment in someone's life. A book that I've worked on for a long time goes on sale next week. So I brought some copies today, so you guys are the very first to see it. It's an edition of a special edition of Think and Grow Rich, which, as you know, is one of my favorite books. And it also includes material that I wrote and material from The Power of Decision by Raymond Charles Barker and Science of Getting Rich and Christian Larson. And it also includes instructions on how to make it a 90-day journey. Anyway, this has taken me probably a year and a half. So to just have it in my hands, it's like, this is a moment. So celebrate. I know it's going to go out and do a lot of great good in this world. I know it is. That's what kept me going. I love to do it. Whew. And I get so inspired by Napoleon Hill. He's going to inspire this talk today. And so is my friend, Dr. David Bruner in San Diego. He's going to inspire, or San Jose, he's going to inspire this talk today too. I love that book, Think and Grow Rich, for a lot of reasons, but I've shared some of the journey that I've had in the past with you before, that there was a time in my life when I did not have a lot going on for me. I was broke. I was alone. I didn't have a purpose. I had a bad job, all of that kind of stuff. And I was in a moment in my life when I would complain a lot. I was in the blame and complain mode of my life. I had a lot of blame, and I had a lot to complain about. And I would blame just about anybody I could think of. I blamed my boss for not paying me what I thought I was worth. Anybody relate to that? I blamed my family, whether it was my mother, father, sister, extended family. I blamed my circumstances. I certainly blamed the geography of where I was at the time, because I felt like I was missing the boat. I was in a place that was not very advantageous. I blamed, we have to blame the government, got to blame politics. I mean, I didn't have any money, and part of it was taxes, right? We always blame taxes. Never mind that taxes at that time and even now are at a near historical low point in our country's history. I still had to blame taxes. And I blamed just about anybody and anything I could come across for all of the conditions of my life that I didn't like. And I had reasons why all of those conditions were not great. But the one thing I did not blame, the one thing I didn't even think to blame, was my philosophy. I never thought to blame my philosophy. And I didn't even want to blame my philosophy, because blaming your philosophy means you have to go within, and I didn't want to go within. Why go within? Whenever I would go within, I was so filled with self-criticism, self-judgment, self-blame, guilt, anger, depression. I didn't want to go within. So it was easier to just blame outside of myself, to be in all of the reasons why my life was not working, all of those reasons. I don't know if you have any reasons about why your life is not working, or if I'm just by myself thinking about that. I'm all alone, she says. But here's a great way to test out if you do, okay? This is a simple little exercise. This is a simple exercise. You don't have to chant first. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to even take a deep breath. That's how simple this exercise is. I'm going to say a statement with two blanks in it, and I want you to fill in blank A and blank B. Simple? Okay, this is the statement. Let me get it. I don't move forward with blank in my life because blank. I don't move forward with blank in my life because blank. Now, let me give you some ideas of how to fill that in. I don't move forward with finally being financially free in my life because fill in that blank. I don't move forward being completely, perfectly whole and healthy and complete in my body because blank. Did you come up with some things in your head? Yes, some things came up in your head. Well, I'll tell you this. The problem is that when we come up with those things, all those things that you filled in the blanks with, those are your reasons. Those are your complaints. Those are the things that we think hold us back somehow, and that it's outside of ourselves. And that's okay to become aware of. In fact, it's good to become aware of. But what happens is, a lot of the time, we take those reasons, those complaints, and we begin to defend them. We begin to believe that those things are more real than the truth that we come into places like this to find out. We begin to protect them. And in fact, we begin to identify with those things in our life. We begin to join support groups for those things, and suddenly those things become who we are. Now, we can say the words in the prayers and all of that, in the songs, we can say the words, but somehow we have this belief inside of ourselves that that's who we are, and that's where we stop. That becomes our ceiling. And I began taking classes at that time in my life at a center like this, but in Colorado, and I began learning that science of mind had a different philosophy than what I had in my head. The one that wasn't working for me. Science of mind had a different philosophy, and it was at a center like this that I began learning about things like love and law. You've probably heard that if you've been here a couple times. Love and law, love, the all-powerful presence, the creator of all creation and all life. Law, how the creator, how this one power works. It's the process, the creative process that the creator works to create. And since we are one with the one, that is the creative process that we use to create new conditions in our life. That's something that I learned. And another thing that I learned is something that Ernest Holmes writes a lot about in The Science of Mind. It's not very fashionable to talk about it right now because everybody's kind of in the social justice, saving the world mode, but this is something that was very important to Ernest Holmes. It was so important that you can find it basically on every other page of that thick book called The Science of Mind. And he called it manifesting results. Manifesting results. That's a different philosophy. I was so used to looking at the effects of my life and blaming other people that I was not used to going within and working toward manifesting results. So what I want to invite you to do is I want to invite you to do something a little bit crazy. I want to invite you this week to become unreasonable. Unreasonable. We all have our reasons about where we are and what's going on in our life. So I want you to become unreasonable. And what does that mean for you? What that means for you, for us, is that we begin to become more committed to the results that we want in our life than we are committed to the reasons that we think they won't happen. Okay? Let me say that again. We become more committed to the results that we want in our life than we are committed to all of those many reasons why they aren't happening. Got it? Wow, what a life. Yeah, it would be amazing. What that means is that you have to honor your word more than the reasons. You have to honor that excellence that lives within you more than the reasons. You have to honor the possibilities in your life more than the reasons. It's a complete shift. It's a different way of thinking and a different way of going. So here's an example. Say you want to write a book, okay? I know firsthand everybody feels like they want to write a book in their life. You say you want to write a book and you think to yourself, you say your word, I'm going to work on a book project 1 hour a day, every day after work. Okay? That's the result. That's how you're going to get a result in your life, and you can be committed to that result. However, the next day comes, and you go to work, and you come home from work. Oh, God. Woo! That was a day. Gee whiz, that boss. Oh, my God. And did you, oh, And you start thinking about the day, and then it's like, I'm really tired. I'm really hungry. You know what I want? I don't want to work on that. I want a glass of wine. That's what I want. And I want to sit in front of the TV and watch Dancing with the Stars. That's about all I got for me today. I can see you've done that too. So, suddenly we don't do what we gave our word to do, what we committed to, and that's okay. But what you have to realize, what we get clear about, is that that's not honoring the commitment to the result, that's honoring the reason why we don't get it. And the more we honor the reasons why we don't get something, the more it becomes true for us, and the more habitual it becomes, to the point where we go on automatic pilot. We completely turn off. It changes everything. And yet, the height of spiritual practice, you can find this in every sacred text that there is, the height of spiritual practice is to use spiritual practice to get results. Otherwise, why do it? Then you're just wasting your time. We use our spiritual practice to get the results that we want. I remember when I first started becoming a practitioner in the Science of Mind church I was in at the time, and I was reading all of these writings by Ernest Holmes about being a practitioner, and he says in one of his books, he said, when you treat spiritual mind treatment, that's our word for affirmative prayer, when you use spiritual mind treatment, two things are happening. One, you are using it as a tool to lift your consciousness so that you have a change of ideas. You're actually literally lifting your consciousness so you're no longer at that lower level of thinking. You're now at a higher level of thinking. And two, you are creating something that he called measurable. Measurable, that's his word, measurable. And what does that mean? That means that when you use spiritual mind treatment for a specific result, it's measurable. You can actually see if it's working or not in your life based on the results that you get. Now, we know that spiritual mind treatment works for many, many people because it already does. So we know that spiritual mind treatment theoretically then can work for all people. So if you use spiritual mind treatment and you don't get the result, the specific result or better that you ask for, it's not the treatments. The method is fine. The method is good. It's our use of it. And that's good news, because then if we treat for something and we get something else, we can see where we are. Measurable. Spiritual mind treatment to be used for very specific reasons. Now we're in the results, because you cannot be in the reasons that you don't have something and the results, wanting a different result at the same time. You can't be in complaint mode and in possibility thinking at the same time. You can't be a victim and be in your power at the same time. Jesus said, choose you now, today, which master you are going to choose. And that's what we're talking about here, being more committed to choosing the result that we want than we are all the many things that get in the way that are within our control. Now, at that time in my life, back then, I felt a certain way, and perhaps some of you feel that way or have felt that way, which is, I knew that there was that thing out there that I wanted, but I knew I was not living my life in a way in which that ideal could come to me. Or I was not living at a frequency where that result could find me. In fact, it often felt like that result was repelled by me. That might have been just me. But, you know, it's moving our energy. At the time, I thought that it was about, I had perfectly good reasons to complain. I had perfectly good reasons, because look at the results of my life. But I didn't realize that the more I defended the results of my life, the more I was creating those results in my life. I didn't realize that all the time I kept thinking what a crappy life I had, I was creating an even crappier life. Ugh. If only, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But that's what happens. I had to learn to change my philosophy, to move away from results and into, I mean, away from reason and into results. And how do we do that? We do that by aligning our word and our actions with our beliefs and the results that we want. They have to come together, because you can say all the right things, and yet if you don't do anything that's in alignment with it, it's not going to have any power. Emerson was the one that said, "I can't hear what you are saying because your life is speaking so loudly." What is your life saying? So last week, Reverend Michelle gave a great talk about complaining, and it was called Complaining or Creating. And if you didn't listen to that talk, you can get a copy in the bookstore, and it was really great. In fact, I found myself during the week noticing when I was complaining, and it was amazing how often I would find myself complaining. And in fact, at one point, I was having lunch with a colleague of mine, and he and I were sitting across the table, and another colleague came up, and we started talking about her, and I said, "You know what I don't like about her? She complains all the time." And then it was like, whoops. Complaining about somebody complaining is still complaining. But imagine a life without any complaints at all. Now think about the kinds of things that we complain about, okay? The weather. Michelle Bachmann, President Obama, Sarah Palin, whoever you complain about. Your boss. Your colleagues, the economy, the person in the office next to you, your mother, your father, your siblings, your children, your extended family, your friends, the friend who didn't call. You complain about the heat, drivers, thank you. Olga's back there driving. The drivers, yes. Anybody complain about drivers in this state? Oh my God. I don't believe any of you. Nobody raised your hand. Okay, we complain about just about anything. Imagine what would happen if we didn't complain about anything in our lives. We would have nothing left, which is kind of the point, right? That's kind of the point, because it is out of that place of nothing that anything can happen. It's out of that place where all possibilities are now available to us, because when we have all the ideas of how things should be and shouldn't be, and they did this and all these complaints and all this stuff, suddenly there's very little room left for life to work through to get us the thing that we want. But when we drop everything, suddenly everything is open and available to us. We have it all in front of us. We sometimes have it backwards. We want to the thing that we're complaining about to change first before we'll be happy and move into possibility thinking. And Science of Mind invites you to think about it the other way around. We begin with the end result first, and then life begins to move around us. Does it work? Yes. Is it hard? Sometimes. Is it thrilling? Absolutely. But it turns your life into a great adventure rather than a litany of complaints that basically keeps us small and keeps us living the same day that we lived yesterday and the day before. It's a different way of going through life, of walking through the world. But then, Science of Mind actually takes it a step further. It doesn't stop us there. Takes us a step further. It takes us a step that actually on the surface seems a little outrageous. It takes us to a step where it says that not only don't complain, move into results, move into possibility thinking, not only not complain, but that thing you were going to complain about, see that thing differently. See that thing differently. See that thing as the doorway or the portal toward the very thing that you want. So you no longer can complain about it, because it becomes the very vehicle that you can use then to create what it is that you want. Science of Mind helps us unify our philosophy so that we can live in results, these results we're wanting to be committed to. Sometimes what we do is we say the words, "God is one, all is one, I am one with God, all the possibility of God is within," all of that stuff, and then something will happen that we don't like. And we go into, "God, if you would just solve that thing, then it'll be okay again. God, I can't solve this thing. You have to solve this thing. And what that does is it says something that there's a God out there to solve this thing out there. And yet science of mind constantly is telling us there is nothing out there. It's all happening right here. So we are constantly being asked to go within and to see life in a different way. The spiritual life happens inside out. And when we live it that way, it's much more grounded. It's much more, it's like we're living the mighty oak rather than being the leaf that if a good thing happens to you today, then you're going to have a good day. And if a bad thing happens to you, you're going to have a bad day. That's my son. I told you, he's very shy and demure. So let's go back to that equation as we close. Let's go back to that equation that I mentioned earlier. I don't move forward with blank because blank. So whatever that was for you, you now have a lot of opportunity to become results committed rather than reason committed. This church, CSL North Jersey, says every single week that education is our primary objective. We hear that every single week. And I think that, you know, if you look at all the churches, I've been in many of them, and the number of classes offered at this center per congregant is probably more than any other center I've ever seen, because this really is a primary objective. And we have these classes specifically so that we can stay in that results-oriented mode. So if you have a financial issue, come to one of the prosperity classes. We have one at 12:30 today. 12:30 today. It's just a half an hour from now. That's free. Join the 4Ts. Today is the last day you can join the 4Ts. And that'll help you become committed. Every one of our classes should be packed to the rafters with people who are so committed that they want to change their life. If you have a health challenge, we have healing circles. We have practitioners. We actually are starting a whole new group, a health fair, and with different alternative natural healers. Whatever it is your issue, there are so many ways in this center alone to become committed so that you move forward. So think about that thing that you want and all the many ways that you can now become committed to the result that you want. And today, start today, this entire week, being unreasonable. Just like when you find yourself complaining, anytime you think of a reason why there is not so-and-so, fill in the blank in your life, stop yourself and say, wait a second, I'm moving out of reason and back into results. What is the result I want here? And what do I need to do to get there? How committed am I really? My life will show it. So let's move into that committed place in prayer so that we can seal the deal. So that we can now move to the place of possibilities. So that it's not a concept, it's not a theory. It's an experience. And it's a tool for us to have so that we can get the results or even better in our lives. And as we do that, we know that when we become committed to the results in our life will speak so loudly that we won't need to say a word about what we're doing. We will become so filled with the purpose and the passion and the joy of our life. All of the things that we want, all of the perfect health, all the love, it'll become a natural progression rather than a struggle. So right now, I just know that this one presence, this one power that is God the Good is in me, is as me, and is living through me right now. And I align myself and everyone in this room with that one, knowing there is no separation. There is only that light that shines forth. There is only the truth, and there is only the way made possible. And I know that we stay committed to our highest goals, our highest ideals, and the highest that life has for us. I know that whatever the issues of our lives in this room are, we now allow them to become not reasons not to move forward, but rather the portals through which we can open up and experience even greater. Life guides us. Life moves us in wonderful ways. This is our truth, and I'm so grateful to know it. This is our truth, and I'm so grateful to experience it and to believe it fully for everyone here. This is our truth, and it is our truth right here and right now. And together we say, and so it is.